I was doing that song, I made up my mind that I wanted to share a story with these people. I ain't making any of this stuff. This is what happened. I worked about 20 shows in the United States Air Force, open parties in the Philippines, Okinawa, Japan, Korea. I went to that. Now, while we were over there, the Air Force was nice enough to ask for a jetting. If you would like to ride in one of those sophisticated F-16 airplanes. And I was dumb enough to say, yeah. First gentleman, he says, okay, when you get to the Masada, Japan, our range, I got all the range parts the same. So we were able to Japan. I'm walking off the plane and I see this just barreling across that tarmac. And there's this dude sitting in there. And he got a cigar sticking out of his face. And he runs up to a screeching halt and jumps out of a jeep. Comes over and says, DJ, are you good? I said, yeah. He says, well, I'm the resident. I'm the resident to take you for a ride. And he says, I'm 16 years old. I said, good. He says, yeah. My name is Bubba. He was just human, Bubba. He said, yeah. I get a Jeep from Bubba. I found out a lot about him. He's current. And he never, ever plans to be in no general. They wouldn't want you. Because when you become a general in the Air Force, they stash you behind the desk and you put your bunch of papers. And he likes to fly the airplanes. Most of the toys and fly with the bullets, so constantly. He's been a colonel for 85 years. He takes me to this big warehouse, right? Drops me off and leaves me down with a lieutenant who happens to be a beautiful young lady. And he says, I'm going down there with a plane, and they'll bring down there in the fence, we can find some time, brother. So I introduced myself to the lady, and I said, what are we going to do, honey? Follow me. We're walking in the building. She says, I'm going to meet you on egress training. And I says, excuse me. What did you say? I said, don't egress me and get out of it. She says, yeah. I said, well, honey, I got a flash to you. I ain't going to be getting out of nobody's F-16. But you have to do this in order to fly, because I'm going to let anybody fly in an airplane. And when you do, you have to speak to the crew. I said, okay, fine, let's go. So we walk in there and she says, well, the first thing I've got to do is fit you for a parachute. Well, I'm thinking, well, the airlines will make me wear a parachute. We go in there and there's a ceiling about the height of this, and we got this parachute harness here. The ceiling, what it is, the straps, you step into the bottom of the parachute down there. They got straps around the front, straps around the back, on both sides. And you hook down and you hook them down here in the strap. So I jump in there and I grab these over the side, and I hook them straight, and I grab these over and I hook them with a strap. I just gotta wear this parachute and then jump the beacons. Keep saying, is that time, Mr. Reed? I said, well, I've been talking this long, I've been talking. So I finally get my boss back down and bust him over. I throw it over the pile. She says, now you'll be fine over the street. She's big. So we need one of these. She handed me this rubber suit. Which weighed 40 pounds. I said, fine. I threw it over there in my pile. And she says, now put this on. I said, what is that? She said, this is a G suit. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. What's a G suit? Well, what a G suit is, man. It's when you get in these really fast, highly maneuverable F-16 airplanes. Everything is in high it down and you yeezed it.
Right.
Well, actually what it does is it keeps the top of your body from going out the bottom of your body. You know what I mean? That's what it actually does. And I threw that over there in my heart. But see, the problem is, so we go to this table, and there's this cushion. I got this cushion that sits on the seat of the Western Fire Plane. And she says, I want to introduce you and brief you on your survival cushion. I'm not liking which horses are here at all. See, I'm not having a good time with this. She unzipped that thing, and they got everything in there. They got a two-way radio, flares, strobe lights, they got beef steak, snake bite kit, aluminum, they got everything. Looking at us, I saw this canned bottle of water. And I said, excuse me, is that water there? She said, yes. I said, well, what is it? Can I have water? Can I survive with this? She said, well, we're going to experience the water. A pilot ejects from an F-16 airplane that's usually in a, he's in dire straits, he's in emergency. And when he ejects, he's under a lot of pressure, stress. When he lands on the ground, he's usually dehydrated, and the first thing he wants is a drink of water to replace the fluids. And I said, all right, well, maybe we'll put two or three of them in there for me, honey. Because it's bubble, and you eject out of that plane, my body's just going to squirt water all over the head. I'm talking a quart load of you. I really got into that survival cushion now. See, I went my survival cushion. I don't know what, I looked at it with a little vial in there. So something. He said, well, I'm glad you asked. Let's say that you and Bubba have actually ejected into the sea of Japan, all right? And we're bobbing up and down out there, and you're a little bit of that. And we're up here thousands of feet, and we're looking for you. And we can't see you, but you can see us. What you do is you take this little vial, and you break it into it, and you reduce it into the seawater. And what it does, it puts kind of a yellow orange stain around you, and we can see you from way up in the sky. Well, I thought about that. And I said, hey, I'm going to say that for some money. I think you can get that little vial back on the shelf. Because if Bubba don't clean the city, you can't, honey. I'm going to move Spain all the way to Tokyo. Finally, I get through all this. Now I have to put this stuff on with a helmet. Man, how do you run the way you walk on the moon? I must have weighed 240 pounds. I ride down in there, barely get out of the Jeep. It takes three crew members to get me in the airplane. I thought there was going to be block and tackle. So finally, get me into the F-16. And they're huge. No, they're huge. And they, two guys strap me down. You know, and the bubble crawls in, and he hits that button, and that bubble candy goes there. Jerry, let me brief you on this afternoon. You were the 21 one of these, and I said, no, don't worry about it, Bubba. I'll fill along in 747. I said, well, this airplane is a little different, Jerry. He says it weighs 23,000 pounds, and the engine has 24,000 pounds of thrust. You have 1,000 more pounds of thrust than you do body weight, so it will go straight from here. But when I take off, Jerry, I'm going to use the afterburner. And he says, what that does is that increases our thrust threefold. Now, I ain't no Albert Einstein. But I figured out real quick that I'm sitting in this 23,000 pound plane over in the neighborhood of 75,000 pounds thrust, right? So I ain't in an airplane anymore. I'm sitting straddling a rocket and Bubba's driving. He said, now, when I hit the afterburner, I don't want you to be alarmed. You're going to hear five explosions. But you're in no danger. What's happening is the F-16 is merely dumping raw fuel into the exhaust pipe. And it's igniting. And what you're hearing is the boom of the fuel. And each time you hear an explosion, we're going to pick up speed. And by the time we get down around at the end of this runway, we're going to be doing in the neighborhood of 450 miles an hour. And he said, oh, by the way, your band has requested and received permission to stay at the end of the runway in this observation booth and take pictures as we go by. He said, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold this airplane at about 30 feet. And when we go by, you can wave at your band real quick. And then, Jerry, hang on for the downest elevator ride you ever had in your life. And with that, he said, are you ready? And his motto was, I could sound like this. Finish that plane, lover. And with that, friends, brother put it in the afterburn. And that was the end of Jerry Meek. I have never felt nothing but cut in my life. About 3 G's hit me and slammed me back against that seat. And I knew there had to be two black holes in my head where my eyeballs used to be. Because they had to be back there somewhere in my skull. And that F-16 literally walked off that ground. And where we going? Now, I look down and my baby didn't stick out no more. And boy, I heard them five pops. Boom, 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 boom. Then I heard the six boom, and that wasn't that jet airplane either. Baby, we're running through there, and Mama gets that thing about 30 feet off the ground. He said, Jerry, there's your band over there at the right. He said, wave at him, and I said, suddenly, Bubba just jerked that stick back. The F-16 shot straight in the sky. And suddenly, he had no neck. It's buried down here in the lower regions of my body. You know what I mean? And I remember, I wanted to scream. I tried desperately to scream, but I couldn't get my upper lip off my lower lip. Here we go. The mother finally levels that F-16 airplane off. And I don't even know how high we were, so I scraped my breakfast off at altitude. And we were at 16,000 feet, and I really started my watch, and we've been flying 12 seconds. Well, I guess Bubba must have sensed that he had a civilian in the back of his airplane. Because he said, well, now, Jerry, we're going to fly along here straight level for a while and kind of gather our stuff together. I said, Bubba, gathering your shoes. So we're flying along there, and he says, you know, we don't do this frequently. He said, allow people to fly in these airplanes. So what I'd like to do is ask you, do you want the ingredient tour or do you want the whole package? Well, I'm in it now. I said, well, Bubba, just give me the whole package. And with that, he proceeded to go and see. Bubba went through every maneuver the Air Force ever showed him, and he's back to life. He turned to the right real hard, and I blew it out five knees. And he put that thing on his head, and I look straight up, and I'm seeing the ground. Next thing, I look up, and I'm seeing the sky, and he's doing this, he's doing that, and finally, he said, now, Joe, we're going to do a loop. He put that over 60, and straight down, and he was going 50 miles, and I'm in that plane, screaming. And he said, hang on, and he jerked that thing back. And he's hit me, and I remember thinking, I'm going to put him in some preparation at the Bible question. Bubba said, he said, we're born in Alabama, Jerry. I said, yeah, my exhaust is exhausted. And then we get up there, and he said, well, now, we're over the siege at the end. We're over the siege at the end. We are going to go supersonic. And he went to that afterburner again, and he threw out and we broke the sound barrier. me in the river for the numbers like that and then my pastor. What's in order? He said, Jared, what's in order? Never mind, Mama, just out with it. Are you with me? Are you with me? And he's flying along and he says, you know, we can't stand after burning too long. We run low on gas. I said, I'm gonna run low on gas by the time. He said, well, hang on, I'm gonna slow this thing down. And at 1,200 miles an hour, I'm gonna put on the brakes. But ain't nobody beat me on the negative G. You know, reverse G, none of that stuff. And I don't know if you ever been traveling 1,200 miles an hour and somebody was putting the brakes on you. And he hit that thing and my lip really popped off. Somebody climbed along and he says, Jerry, he says, we've been out this long that I'm out of fuel and I'm going to have to go back to the air base. I said, imagine that. So we fly back. And one little took that car through. I'm a different man. Suddenly I turn into John Wayne. I know I'm going in. We taxied that big old plane back to the hill and the main one down the rest of the night. You remember Carl Ash? My brother says,